We had a tremendous fellowship last night, our chili cook-off. So if some of us in here look a little bit sluggish, you know why. A lot of great chili last night, a lot of great fellowship. It was wonderful just to see everybody there, just talking. And we had little babies there. We had older couples there. And it was just an outstanding time together. And I just want to say how much I appreciate everybody that was there. That made it such a special night. Those who put it on, those who brought chili, a lot of great chili. It was outstanding. And some of us had to go home and take some Tums, but that's okay. But it was good. That's what happens when you eat chili late at night. But no, we had a good time. And I just love, the Lord knew what He was doing when He said, you need to come together as a family and fellowship. Amen. There's just something about being together. And I went home last night and just really enjoyed myself. Just seeing everybody there, seeing all the different people. That's what family is about, isn't it? And that was our family being together last night. And I love to see that. And I know you do too. If you are a reader and you like to read, I would encourage you to get a book. Actually, any book by John Maxwell. He is an outstanding writer. If you like self-help, developing yourself, growing. I was reading a book recently called The 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth. And there was a question in the first chapter that really, grabbed my attention, made me think, and I know you would appreciate it as well, because I know that all of us here long to be more than what we are. We know that God wants us to continue to grow, right? We haven't reached our desired end. Unless you're Jesus and you get to where our Lord is, you're not there yet, so keep striving, right? Paul will talk about excelling in our faith. So I know you would appreciate this question as well. But I had to really stop and think on it for a while. It was in the first chapter of his book, and it was just simply this: do you have a plan for personal growth? That's all it was, but it's one that made me really think. You know, I've thought about growth, and I want to grow, but do I have a plan to grow? And what is that plan? What does that plan to grow look like? You know, man has plans. We all have plans. We all have different areas where we plan, or endeavors that we plan, but what is our plan for our personal growth? As a Christian, of course, we would call this developing our character, right? Becoming more into the image of Jesus. And do I have a plan? And so that question really challenged me, and I want to challenge you with that question. What is your plan for growth? You know, when it comes to planning, prioritizing and schedules are all involved in that. Somebody once said, instead of prioritizing our schedules, we should schedule our priorities. I think that's good advice. What is my priority in life? What am I prioritizing? And what are my plans? I love what Ignatius said concerning prayer on this that goes along with this idea. Pray as if God will take care of it all for you, but act as if it is all up to you. Live in such a way as your life is up to you, but pray in such a way as it is all up to God. I think that's pretty good advice. Something I need to think about when it comes to my planning for growth. One thing that I realize, and I've been on, as I've read through this book, been reading this book and a lot of material by Maxwell, is this idea of growth being intentional. Our growth is intentional. If you get to a certain level of growth in any area of life, it wasn't an accident. It was something that was intentional. It didn't just happen. Now, obviously, some of us have better abilities in certain areas than others, but to get at a certain level in our faith, it wasn't an accident. It's something that isn't intentional. So I continued as I was reading through that and thinking on that question to ask another question. Are you an intentional person, Kurt? You know, there's times in my life I think I have been intentional. There's times in my life of faith that I think I really haven't. I've just kind of let it go and think that, you know, it's just going to happen one day. I'm going to get to that level, right? And it doesn't work that way. Are you an intentional person? I want to commend real quick this morning our elders, both Lee and Ben, for being intentional. Recently, they have written articles for our bulletin. They asked me to write an article, and I'm not a writer. I'm not like Kelly, okay? I'm not a writer. That's not where I put a lot of my time in, and I'm sharing this with you because I want to start writing more, and I have to step out on faith to do this. Kind of stretches me. I was telling Lee last night at the chili cook-off, I said, this is me getting out of my comfort zone to write. I'm not a writer, but I want to write. I think it's important. I think there's things that are there to offer, that I have to offer there, and we all have to offer in different areas. But in order for me to do that, I've got to be intentional. It's not just going to happen. I'm not going to wake up one day and go, wow, now, you know, a great writer. I have to be intentional. Growth doesn't just happen. Peter will say it this way in 1 Peter chapter 2, or 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 18, and 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you do. You are growing. That's intentional. Like newborn babes, you long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow. Notice, he says, in respect to what? To salvation. Growing, church, in respect to the things of God, to salvation, is an accidental. It's intentional. And so really, the whole point of this lesson this morning is be intentional. Let us learn how to be intentional people in our faith. Whatever it is that we do. There's three thoughts here. First, number one, I think faith is intentional. I don't think faith is accidental. If it was, why would the great apostle Paul write in chapter 10 and verse 17, "Oh, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God," right? We've got the Word of God that was handed down to us by the Spirit of God. This is not the Holy Spirit, okay? If you've wondered, the Bible's not the Holy Spirit. The Bible is the words of the Spirit, that powerful Word that God has given us to transform our lives, to build our faith, to make us into the people He wants us to be. We've got it right here, but in order to grow in it, we've got to be intentional. Faith. My faith and your faith, church, is intentional. It comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God or the Word of Christ. In chapter 11, verse 1 of Hebrews, we learned that faith is the assurance of things that we hope for and the conviction of things that we don't see. We believe they're there, but we don't see them. That chapter in verse 6, the Hebrew writer will say, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. We can't please Him without faith, for notice the intentional words here. He who comes to God must believe that He is God and that He is the rewarder of those who seek Him. So you'll notice that that is intentional. Faith is intentional. You know, we've all met people in faith that we admire. We love sister so-and-so. We've got them here. So many people that we admire and the faith of people and their love. And they're putting themselves out there for other people and all the various ways that they serve and things they do. We see a woman of great faith and someone says, well, my goodness, God must have just blessed her with strong faith. No, it doesn't work that way. That woman's faith wasn't accidental because, you see, she chose to let the Word of God be in her life. She chose to let the Word of God motivate her life to where she would invest in other people's lives and not just be about herself, but that she would be about other people and their interests. She chose to be involved in the works that are going on in the church, and that's why we say, wow, she has such a great faith. We admire her. And she has that great faith because she has been intentional. I've got this illustration of this. You know, when you go on a long car trip, one of the features about a car that I like when you go on a long trip is that you just hit that cruise control button, right? And what happens, guys, is the car does the work. Of course, you have to steer it and all that, but the car does the driving, right? It runs on automatic. But faith isn't that way. Our faith will not just run on automatic. We must be intentional. This week, be intentional in your faith. Secondly, how about vision? When was the last time we talked about vision? Confess to you, and I'm sorry to say, I haven't brought up the topic of vision in a long time. And I need to bring that up more, because vision for you and I is so critical. So important to our faith. So important to the growth of this body. So important to this community. So important to our nation. And to the world itself. One thing I'm beginning to realize is that vision also is intentional. Vision isn't accidental. Without vision, the people have no direction. Without vision, we don't know where to go. And the Proverbs writer will talk about that too. Not just in personal growth of our own personal life and faith, but also as the entire body of Christ. Vision helps us to see this. Jonathan Swift said this, "Vision is the art of seeing things invisible." Do you see anything invisible? Do I see anything invisible? Just like faith, it's the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things, convicted of things we don't see. Vision is seeing beyond, seeing the things that we don't see. This was illustrated to me very well in J.J. Turner's book on leadership. Another great book called A Christian Leadership Handbook. I came across this in one of his chapters. A quote, in the 15th century, Spain considered itself the westernmost point of civilization. And emblazoned on its coat of arms was ne plus ultra. Or, quote, nothing more beyond. But when Columbus returned from his voyage in 1493, Queen Isabella decided to have the motto repainted. The new phrasing eliminated nay and read plus ultra, meaning, quote, there's more beyond. There's more beyond. Now he went on to say, today, leaders in the church must realize that more awaits. All of us must realize, not just leaders. But all of us must realize that in the church, more awaits to be accomplished than ever before. Do you believe that? We must not think that all has been achieved or that all is final for the church in Windsor. That all the programs, the perfect programs, have been inaugurated and there are no more. That your preachers have reached their limits and abilities for God. That your leaders, that your members have reached their ability for their family, for the community, for the state, for the nation, for the world. Who do we believe in? What is He capable of doing anyway? Vision is intentional. And vision looks at three areas quickly that I want to share. Number one, I think first of all, it looks into our inwardly, we could say. And this is where our personal growth comes in, right? Our reflection and evaluating of ourselves. It was Socrates who once said, the life unexamined isn't worth living. If you're not examining yourself, why are you living? I'm just merely existing. You know, that's not how God wants us to. So we start looking inward and then we look outward, right? After we look inward, vision will look outward to other people in the body, to other people in the congregation, in the community, and as I've said, the world. But vision also looks upward, right? inward, outward, and upward to God, where our trust is, where we trust beyond our own limitations. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to read this, and I wish I even understood this better than I do. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Paul was a steward of the gospel, of the mystery of God, which he had before the world ever was, that he would bring Jew and Gentile into one body, into Christ, that God would have a plan to redeem the world through Jesus. But I want you to notice what Paul says in chapter 3, verse 20, and I want you to think about this when it comes to vision. What is our vision? Paul says in verse 20, "Now to him who is able," that would be God, "to do exceedingly," some translations say immeasurably or abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. I would love for you to meditate on that verse this week, church. I mean, if we came up with a plan in this body of Christ, this is our vision, this is what we're going to do, what could God do with that? According to His power that works within us, according to His purpose and His will, what can God do? What limits does God have in that area? For Paul says, "To him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask," not just that you ask, but that you even think, "according to the power that works within us." That's vision right there. Vision is intentional. And I want to encourage us to be a people of vision. Which leads us into the third point, evangelism. Evangelism is intentional too. It's not accidental. You see a church and you say, "Boy, they're very evangelistic. It didn't just happen." That's what their vision and focus is. That's what where they are being intentional. You know, there was a time when the Church of Christ, some of you know this, you were around then, when it was the fastest growing church in the nation. Right? Long time ago. Part of it was because they were intentional. You know, I was on the computer recently, and I hate even sharing this, but you know what the fastest growing religion in the world today is in America and the world? It isn't Christianity. By far it isn't. It's not Mormonism, Catholicism, it's none of those. The fastest growing religion is Islam. You see, we've got to be an intentional people. We got to be intentional in our faith. We got to be intentional with vision. We got to be intentional with evangelism. Because the Word of God is so... You know, the church grew because the Word of God was so important to them. The Great Commission was their mission. It wasn't the preacher's mission. It wasn't the leadership or elders' mission or the local schools or colleges' mission, although it was their mission, but it was everybody's mission. They took the Great Commission personally to go into all the world, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. So it continues on, "Lo, I'm with you always, until the end of the age." It was the mission of the whole entire body of Christ. That needs to be our mission for every one of us. Mark 16, chapter 1, verse 16 and following. You remember when Jesus' ministry began, he came to Peter and his brother and he said, "Follow me." They were fishing, right? He said, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of men." And what did they do? They dropped their nets and they followed Him intentionally. They followed Him. Luke 19:10, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost," Jesus said. There is vision that Jesus would one day fulfill. That at the cross He would pay the highest price for redemption of man and for their sin. And he would accomplish that, for that's what's drawn us to him. That's why we follow him. That's why we have vision. That's why we're intentional in our evangelism. John chapter 4, 35, Jesus said, "Don't say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white unto harvest." Right now, there are people in our lives that we can reach. There are people in our own circles of influence that we can reach. But we have to be intentional. Luke 9:23, Jesus said, if anyone, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, if anyone wishes to come after me, you could quote it with me, right? Let him deny himself and take up his cross. Usually we just say, oh, we'll stop there. Maybe we just say, follow me. But he says something else. There's another word he puts in there. Anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, today. Daily and follow me. You see, church, you and I were not called to a life of comfort. Sorry, we weren't. You and I were not called, not that we can't have comfort. God is our comfort, but we weren't called to a life of comfort. You and I were not called to a life of health, not that we can't have health. But we know when we follow wisdom, the chances are that our life is prolonged and it is better. So we can have health, but we weren't called to health. We were not called to riches. Although we can have riches, we were not called to those riches. It was a cross that Jesus called you and I to live every day. So, my final remarks are this, three things about our cross and being intentional. Let us be intentional and wear it. And I mean wearing the cross. I mean this is our individual personal decision to grow every day. Daily discipline, grow. Be intentional today. Wear it. Number two, be intentional and bear it. Are we to bear a cross? Do we have a cross to bear? You do. This is our relation to one another. We go through struggles and we bear each other's burdens, don't we? Paul will say this in Galatians chapter 6, 1 and following, that through that we fulfill the law of Christ when we bear burdens. But we have to be intentional to do it. Again, it doesn't happen automatically. You say, well, I just don't feel like it. It's not about our feelings either. What were you called to? Be intentional. Bear the cross today. And thirdly, be intentional and share. I've got to put the share it in there again. Wear it, bear it, and share it. Because you see, as hard as it is sometimes to share, you and I didn't copyright salvation. You see, it doesn't belong to me. It's not for me to keep. It's not for me to hide. It's not for me to hoard. It wasn't given for that. It wasn't intended for that. It was given for us to share in our lives and everything we do. It's not just door knocking and saying, hello, would you like to study the Bible? No, that could be part of it. Probably won't work very well today. But we've got friends. We've got family. We influence by our words. We influence by our choices, by our actions, what we do and what we don't do. Are ways that we can be intentional and share it. Because you see, our Lord's sacrifice, the good news, wasn't to be kept secret. It was for everybody. Be intentional. Keep that thought in your mind this week as you consider your growth, as you consider the cross and your responsibility every day to wear that, to bear that, and to share that. That's the lesson this morning. And if we can encourage you as we sing the invitation song, this is the opportunity for you to come forward. Maybe you just need prayers. Maybe you need help with something. Maybe you're not a Christian and you're ready to obey the gospel. The believe the truth now of Jesus Christ, that through Him, through His blood, you can be forgiven. You're ready to accept that truth and obey that truth by being baptized into His death, becoming a new Christian, and this is the opportunity to do that. As we stand, would you come as we stand?